Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I tell you, it's not fair with people like Diana, because even when they don't have makeup on and in a car scrunch, they still look great, you know. I don't know how they do it, but I'm envious of that. We're delighted you're here with us, and I'm delighted to have my beautiful wife back all the way from Sarasota. Renee, give us a wave. This is a pretty blonde up there. It's not my oldest daughter. It is my wife. And so we're glad to have you back. Thank you, honey, for taking care of your mom. And thank you all for your prayers for Cindy Westmark and for Emily Conklin. God has really has answered your prayers. And we're delighted you're here with us on a rainy Sunday in Tallahassee. And those viewing online, welcome. You can go ahead and sip another cup of coffee. You're dry in your den or office, but we're glad you're with us nonetheless. We're going to continue our study in the Purple Book. And we're in Lesson 4. Talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Say that with me. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of people think, well, look, I believe in the Holy Spirit, but I've never really heard of this thing called being baptized in the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit. My own history, I was raised in a Baptist church, and when I was about 13 or 14 years old, I asked my mother about these supernatural things that I was reading, that Jesus would lay hands on the sick, they'd get better. He would pray for the food, it would multiply, particularly like that one. He would do all these amazing things. People who had leprosy or people who were blind or people who were deaf mutes, he would simply pray over them and instantly they'd get healed. And I'd say, Mama, I don't understand this. Why don't these same things happen today in our church if we're serving this Jesus? And she looked at me and she had a really good theological, at least it sounded theological. She said, those things have passed away, son. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, okay. So as a 13-year-old kid, you're thinking, okay, well, we get the benefit of going to heaven, but we don't have the benefit of all the wonderful things that were afforded to the first century Christians. So we're just going to have to trudge through life. We're going to have to go through the hardship of living on this earth, and then one day we'll die and we'll go into glory and there'll be no more pain, no more suffering, etc. Then I went to university, and I went to university in Tennessee, Tennessee Tech University. I was an athlete there, and this guy was telling me, he said he met someone in the weight room. He was an offensive lineman. He was actually from Titusville, Florida, big guy, 6'4", about 280 pounds, and he said, man, I was in there lifting weights, and this dude I'd never seen in my life came up to me, and he said, God spoke to me about you. And he's looking at him, he said, what? He said, what do you mean God spoke to you about me? And he began to tell him about his wife and what he and his wife were going through. And the guy looked at me, he said, you know, I didn't even have my wedding band on, and I was so amazed that he told me exactly what was happening in the privacy of my own house with my own wife. We'd only been married for 2 years. And he said, it freaked me out, because he said God was telling him exactly what no one else would know except me and my wife. And he said, I'm going to his meeting. And he said, I said, what is that stuff? He said, I guess it's kind of like the psychic hotline. You know, he can read, you know, they can pick up things in the atmosphere and stuff, or they can read your mind. And I thought, oh, God, that sounds amazing, but it's kind of scary because I don't want anybody reading my mind. I mean, no, if your mind, if people could read your mind, most of us wouldn't really want be displayed what's going on in our thought life. Okay, am I the only one? Okay. And I thought, well, I've got some pretty bad thoughts going on up there. I'm not sure I want anyone to read what's going on in my thought life. And I went to the meeting, and it wasn't weird or anything, but the guy preached the gospel, and that's where I got saved. But the thing that really touched me was the fact that I knew the supernatural was alive. That it wasn't just something written in a book, an archaic book 2,000 years ago that applied to a particular people, but now it transcends the centuries and it is applicable for you and I today. Jesus said these words. He said, if you believe in me and the works that I do, greater works than these shall you do, because I'm going to the Father. Amen. Wow, you mean to tell me Jesus said if we believe what he did, that when he leaves, that we would be able to do not in quality, but in quantity, greater works. Yes. And that's exactly what the scripture says. Yes. That's why Jesus said, it's to your advantage I go, yes, because when I leave, I'm going to send the helper. Yes. the parakletos in Greek, which means the comforter. He will come and he will teach you all you need to know. He will comfort you. We will not leave you as orphans, but there will be a supernatural empowerment. Yeah. There will be an inducement that this world doesn't know of because it will be spiritually appraised. It won't just be good theology. It won't just be rational thought. It'll be a supernatural advent that can only be explained by a supernatural God living in his people. And I thought, whoa, that sounds like real Christianity, where not only do you believe in the God who broke the laws of physics and overcame death and rose from the grave, but this God can empower you by his Holy Spirit, and now we can lay hands on the sick. We can pray for certain things, and they can happen. And all of a sudden, Christianity back almost 33 years ago came to life for me when I saw people who actually not only believe Jesus died for your sins, but the Holy Spirit empowers you to walk in the ways of Christ here on the earth. Amen. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, they're available for us today. Let's talk about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit puts God's character on display, while the gifts of the Holy Spirit puts God's power on display. As his representatives on the earth, we need to develop both the gifts of the Spirit and also the fruits of the Spirit. How many know that when you're a Christian, over time, there should be fruit in your life? How many would say that's probably a good indication you're walking with God? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Have you ever seen people who said they were Christians, but there was no fruit? Amen. Have you?
Yes.
Okay. It's getting real quiet in here. I have. We call those people nominal Christians. You know what that word means? In name only. Exactly. Very good, Paul. In name only. In name only. You ever seen people who go to football games or basketball games and they're shouting and screaming? Their fans are fanatics, but they can't play a lick of football. They can't shoot a jump shot. They can't get a rebound. They can't dribble. See, there are a lot of people who are in the stands, who are in the audience of the game, who can't play the game. There are a lot of people who come in the audience of the church who aren't playing Christianity. They're sitting back and talking and wearing the jersey. They're name only. You see, God doesn't want that. He wants us not to be spectators, but to be a part of it. We need to develop both the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us they were given for the common good. Say that with me. The common good. What does that mean? That when God blesses me with a gift, it's not just for me. It's for you, and it's for you, and it's for you, and it's for James sitting on the front row. It's for Todd sitting back there. It's for Stephen. It's for the common good. And so when God gives you fruits and gifts, if you plant an orange tree, can I tell you something? The fruit should not just feed your own family. It should feed everybody that you choose to bless with the fruit of the produce of your land. That's how Christianity is meant to work. It's meant to be for the common good. So whenever the gifts are on display like they were with Pastor John Rohr, how many were here with Pastor Rohr? Wasn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I talked to my man, Mr. Wade. It was Wade here? Yeah. Wade, I said, how'd you like? He said, man, that was good. He said, but it was creepy. It was creepy. He said, but I knew it was good. I knew it was from God. It was creepy. Why? Because God did something that was out of the ordinary, that wasn't out of the rational mind. And I love that part about God. It's an amazing thing. And so it's for the common good to help build up, as Pastor Ron so eloquently put it in the new members class, we're here to build up the body of Christ, to edify. That's what the word means. We're here not just to preach another good sermon, hopefully it's good, but we're here to edify you. We're here to build you up. Touch the person next to you and say, you're here to be a big built up. We're going to get you buffed before you leave here. Say that. Get buffed. All right. And the Bible also says this. You say, well, what about all this falling away? What about the people who don't believe in tongues and stuff like that? They don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in healing. Well, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Why would God tell us to desire something that wasn't available to us? Why would God tell us to strive for something that was out of our obtainment? Pursue love, but desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Then he goes on to say, don't forbid to speak in tongues, but desire that you may prophesy. For the one who prophesies is greater. He's talking about a public church meeting, of course, in that context. But he's telling the people these are good for you and it's for the common good. So let's talk about spiritual gifts. Romans 12, 6 through 8 gives us a good beginning on it here. And this talks about, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given us, each one of us, not just Pastor Ron, not just Ben, not just James, not just Corey, each one of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of the faith, if service in the serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation. You know what? You need people in your life to exhort you. You know that? Some people have a gift of exhortation. You know, it's nice when they're exhorting others, but when they start exhorting you, it doesn't feel good. My wife has a gift of exhortation. Trust me, I know, and I want to do stuff. You know, you got to do this. And all of a sudden, she starts quoting scriptures, and I get so convicted, I'm going to go do it, you know? Yeah. See, that's a gift of exhortation. She's not just bugging me. You know, well, sometimes she does, but anyway, we won't go there. But there's a gift of exhortation in the church where when people preach and all of a sudden something supernatural happens, that's the spirit of exhortation, to get off your backside and do something with your life. Yes. To those who give with liberality. You know, some of your gift is to give.
Amen.
Your gift is to give. It's to give your time, your resources, and your money.
Yes.
Money. You know what? I can tell where your heart is when you show me where your wallet is. Oh, yeah. And if you're giving stuff, and if you're giving your time and energy, I can tell you where your heart is. I can tell you where your passion is. A long time ago, I made a decision. My heart is going to be for the kingdom. Because apart from that, I would spend it all on myself. Okay? So giving is when we give our time, we give our energy, we give our money to the kingdom of God and the purposes of God. And that's for the common good. It doesn't make sense. The world tells you to hoard and keep it all for yourself and bless people if you want to, or if you've got a little bit on top, you can skim off. But the Bible tells us that some people will have a gift of giving. You'll just want to give. You'll just want to give money away. We've had people that their main gift was giving. They say, "What? Well, how much money do you need?" "Well, we need $10,000. "Okay, here's seven." "Okay, I trust God for that. Let's pray for another one like that to come into our church, you know, our new members." We like the gift of giving. Some of you have the gift of being a fruit tree. There's another way of saying it. These are gifts that God gives to people, exhortation. Some of you have a gift of leadership on your life. You're a leader. You're just a natural born leader. Ron Miller's got a spirit of leadership on it. Cindy Miller's got a spirit of leadership. How many knows when you come to a prayer meeting and Cindy's here, I tell you, I just want to sit down and let her pray. So I don't even need to be here. Let her pray. Why? There's a spirit of intercession and exhortation and leadership that woman has. You know? And then it says, those who lead with diligence and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Some of you have a gift of mercy. How many know it's good to have people with mercy around you? Particularly when you have an exhorter in the same place. You need mercy. I like to be, "Oh, yeah, dude, you've worked so hard. Stay here. Have another milkshake, you know. Oh, you poor thing." We need people like that occasionally. We get a lot of amens on the front row. Anyway, we need a gift of mercy occasionally. These are gifts of the Holy Spirit. And people who have a gift of mercy, they just say, "God, this person is the sweetest person in the world." And they understand, they get me, they understand me, you know. It's a gift. And so these are given by God for the common good. In Ephesians 4, 4, 1 through 12, it talks about the special gifts and offices that God gives to the church. And Paul the Apostle says that he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, so that they could build great big edifices and have a lot of people come and listen to their sermons. No, it doesn't say that. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a big church. There's nothing wrong with having a large sanctuary. But the real object of apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers is to build up the body of Christ for the work of the ministry. Our job is not just to preach good sermons. Hopefully we do that. But our job is, after the sermon is over, how does this apply to your life? How can we implement this in your everyday life? You see? And we're meant to equip people that they can do what we were meant to do initially, but when they mature, all of a sudden they can evangelize, they can preach, they can prophesy, they can lay hands on the sick, they can set the captives free, they can cast out a devil. Let me tell you, that our job is to work and train people to do what all Christians are meant to do, which is to advance the kingdom of God and be fully equipped Christians.
Yes.
Amen. Say, casting out devils, is that real, Pastor Ken? Yes. If you travel to Africa or Asia, you don't have to convince people there's a demonic. They know that, particularly in Africa. They know there is a dark spirit. There is a demonic spirit that's operating. I was in Harare, Zimbabwe one time, and I was in this place, and I was ministering to a guy who'd gone to a witch doctor. In Zimbabwe, they call black magic, they call it muti. And he came to me, he said, I can't sleep at night. And he had gone to a witch doctor, and because he couldn't sleep at night, had headaches. Here's what the witch doctor prescribed for him. He said, if you will take a nail, I kid you not, take a nail and let me drive it into your skull between the two hemispheres of your brain, your headaches will stop. This guy was so enamored and so much in pain, but he believed that this was true, that somehow spiritual powers would be released if he did that, and he actually allowed the guy to do it. Can I tell you what? The headaches went away.
Amen.
So he did a lot of other things, you know. And then he got, again, the infection came in. They rushed him to the hospital. They took out the nail, gave him antibiotics. But he came, and he was desperate to get help. We cast the devil out of him. We cast spirits out of him. Right there, me and the pastor.
Amen.
And it was amazing, just the manifestations. Let me tell you, I've seen it firsthand. There is a spiritual dimension, ladies and gentlemen. There is a supernatural that transcends everything tangible that you and I can touch. It's there. There is a spiritual realm out there, and we have got to appraise it and battle it in a spiritual dimension with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, 46, he said, don't leave Jerusalem until you're baptized with this thing called the Holy Spirit, because you're going to need the power. You're going to need these gifts. You're going to need this supernatural unction when you go into this dark world to proclaim that Jesus is the light. Don't leave Jerusalem until you get it, boys. In Acts chapter 2, it happened. The day of Pentecost, and all of a sudden, like a mighty rushing wind, God came down, and people began praying in tongues. People were falling out. They were prophesying, and the Bible said revival hit, and they baptized over 3,000 people. Why? The Holy Spirit showed up.
Amen.
Can I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen? Our rationalistic intelligentsia of North America, we need the reality and the truth of God's Spirit today like never before. We need to walk in the Spirit and not walk in the flesh. We need to walk in the supernatural. God wants to baptize you. He wants to baptize me in His Spirit in such a way that we're able to move in these gifts, walk in these gifts, and when we pray a prayer, we know God hears, and that prayer is answered. I love that. First Corinthians 12, 4 through 12, I'm going to abbreviate this. It says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of ministries, but the same Lord. There are a variety of effects, but the same God, who works all things to all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit, again, for the common good. Now, why does God give you a special gift? So you can bless others. Why does God give you a discerning of spirits? Or why does God give you a gift of encouragement? Or why does God give you a gift of teach? So you can teach and encourage other people. You see? And it has different manifestations. It has different outworks for different people. But it's really, really powerful. And he goes on to list in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 12. He goes on to list all the gifts of the Spirit. One of them is called the word of wisdom. Another one is called the word of knowledge. What is the word of knowledge? Word of knowledge is when God supernaturally puts something in your understanding cognitively that you could have not known any other way. Years ago, I was in Jamaica, and we were praying for a businessman there. We'd had a meeting there in Kingston. Where are you? Where are you, Diana? We're in Kingston, Jamaica, and I remember we prayed for a deaf mute. He couldn't speak and never heard. God opened up his ears, and he began to speak for the first time in his life. Can I tell you what? The meeting erupted. We could not house all the people that were coming. Why? Because the supernatural miracle had happened. Not because an American preacher had showed up, but because God showed up. And this man who worked in the parliament, he was an elected parliamentarian. He came to the meeting. He said, "Would you please come to our house?" And he lived in this beautiful, beautiful mansion there in Kingston. And we went in. He had a gated sanctuary type situation. He had guards. And we went into this gentleman's home. He said, "My son has not been able to sleep for the last 6 months. He wakes up screaming bloody murder in the middle of the night. We don't know what to do. There's no medical help. We've taken him to doctors and counselors. We have no answers. We are at our wits' ends. Would you please pray?" So me and the pastor, we walked into this little boy's room, and instantly God spoke to me. He said, "There is a spirit of fear put here by the person who lived here before. The previous occupant had prayed and put a curse over this house, and particularly this room." And I looked to the guy and I said, "I don't know if this makes any sense, but I feel like God told me that there was someone who was delving in witchcraft and voodoo who prayed a negative prayer over this house in this room. That's why your son can't sleep." He looked at me and his jaw dropped open. He goes, "You're not going to believe this." And he began to tell me that there was a person who was actually steeped in voodoo. He would sell trinkets to the people at the carnival and stuff, that he lived in that home. He said he was delving deeply in black magic and sorcery. So the pastor and I went with the mom and dad into the little boy's room. And it was almost like when we walked into the room, this sounds a little bit unusual, but I could feel, it was almost like I was passing through a force field, because there was something in there that didn't want me to go in there. And I'm in there, we're praying in the spirit, we're praying in tongues, and I'm walking in this little boy's room with his mom and dad, and we walk in there, and I could, as I went into the doorway, I could feel, as I walked in his room, I could feel the presence of evil. And I was scared.
Yes.
My first inclination was to run. You know, and I'm a big guy, and I'm not worried too much, but I'm thinking, I was really scared, because I could feel evil in that room. So the pastor and I, we said, "We're just going to pray." We just started praying in tongues real loud. I pulled out my Bible. We started confessing Jesus' dominion over this home and over this family. I had the Father come in and pray. We anointed the four walls with oil, and we just prayed. And we left. Can I tell you what? Sunday, this parliamentarian came back. He said, "My son has slept in his room for the last 3 days. He slept through the night, not one peep. Thank you for coming to pray for our home. There's peace like we've never felt." See, that's a word of knowledge. I didn't know anything, but can I tell you something? It's not just so I can say I had a word of knowledge and this is my trophy and I put it up on the mantle. No, it's to help other people. It's to get people, it's for the common good.
Yeah.
God wants you to move in that. The word of knowledge, a gift of faith. Some of you are going to have a gift of faith. You're going to go, some of you sitting in this room, trust me, you're going to raise thousands of dollars and go to faraway lands and preach the gospel. You say, "Me? I've never left Leon County." Well, you better get your passport. God's going to drop a gift of faith in you, and you're going to be able to say, "God, I see the world like I never saw it before."
Yeah.
A gift of healing. The gift of miracles, a gift of prophecy. Some of you are going to prophesy. The Bible says the young man will dream dreams, the old men will prophesy. Discerning of spirits. You'll be able to go into a city and pray. You'll know what the principalities and powers are over a city. And you'll be able to pray. When I would go into different cities like Auckland or Sydney or Melbourne or New York or LA, I could feel the principalities over there. I'd start praying over that city because I could feel the demonic oppression over there. Why? Because the spirit realm is really real. Yeah. It really is real.
Yeah.
Various kinds of tongues.
Yeah.
And the interpretation of tongues. Just amazing. Can I tell you what? The reason God doesn't want you to know about the gifts or the fruits of the Spirit is because He likes to battle you in the flesh. How many know if you were if you were in your home or your apartment? The devil doesn't want it. God does want it. Thank you very much. Yeah, we'll edit that out later. The reason the devil doesn't want it is because he knows that if he gets you in the spirit, he's going to lose. But if he keeps you in the flesh, in the carnal, then he can win. He can trip you and I up. So that's why it's important that we know what God wants for us and we walk in it. If you were living in an apartment or a home or your house and you're awakened one night and there's a intruder in your home and you go and get your handgun or your rifle and you're stopping this intruder from robbing your home or taking advantage or harming your family, if the intruder could convince you that guns had passed away, he might be able to overcome you and overpower you and take what he wanted. And that's exactly what the devil does. He looks and says, you know, guns have passed away. Bullets have ceased. You can't use these against me. They don't work. They've passed away. That was only for Christians in the first century. That's exactly the lie the devil tries to tell you and I. Yet it was Jesus who said this. He said, go and preach the gospel to all creation, and these signs will follow. Say follow. They will follow those who believe. How many believers do we have in here?
Amen.
Either you believe or you don't believe. He said, in my name, they'll cast out devils. In my name, they'll lay hands on the sick. In my name, they'll speak with new tongues. If they drink any deadly thing, that means that iced tea down there at the burger place. If you drink any, it won't harm you. These things are with us. God has empowered us. He didn't say they were going to pass away. He said, no, it's to your advantage that I go because I'm going to do them and enhance them in this day and in this hour. All right, let's turn to Galatians chapter 5, 22. I'm going to end with this. Is everybody with me? Are you good?
Yeah.
Ben, I'm setting you up next week for getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5. Let's back up here to 18. Oh, verse 19. Galatians 5, 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. What is sorcery? Sorcery isn't just saying incantations or delving into black magic or the occult. Sorcery actually comes from the Greek word pharmakia. The word pharmakia is where we get our English word pharmaceuticals or drugs from. When people take psychotropic drugs or mind-altering drugs, they actually open themselves up to the spiritual realm in a negative way.
Yes.
And that's why drug use, where you alter your thoughts, where you open yourself up to suggestions from the spirit realm, is called sorcery or pharmakia. He says, these are deeds of the flesh. Sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, and factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, things like these, which I forewarned you, just as I forewarned you, those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now here's the counter. Here's the way we should look. Here's what should be produced in my life and in your life. But the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But against such things, there is no law. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How many could use a dose of all those besides me? Amen. In fact, when I was preparing this lesson, can I tell you what? I got convicted. I got convicted. And I told Renee this morning, I said, you know, when I started preparing the fruits of the Spirit and looking at patience, kindness, gentleness, I said, I got convicted. She goes, yeah, I don't want to talk to you a little bit about that. She goes, let's talk about patience, shall we, Ken? I said, why did I bring this up? I said, don't you know I'm about to preach again? You know, I said, I'm convicted. But it was good, How many have a problem with patience, particularly when someone cuts you off in the road? You know, that little 15 meters of asphalt that's yours, that they invaded. How many get angry when your schedule doesn't work the way you planned it? Amen. Your precious little schedule. Amen. Yeah, I'm preaching to myself. Amen. And those viewing online, don't cut me off yet. I tell you what, kindness. You know, it's easy to be kind to people who are nice. It's hard to be kind to people who are ugly. Yes. You know what I found out? Most people are ugly. They are rude. And we're meant to be the other thing. See, this, can I tell you what? This is a fruit. What is a fruit? Fruit is something, is a natural byproduct of your existence. Has anyone ever seen an apple tree out there trying to produce apples? Or a blueberry vine trying to, or grapevine trying, striving to produce. No, it's just a natural thing. It just happens. Why? It's a part of the nature of who they are. It's a byproduct of who they are. Can I tell you what? These fruits should be a natural byproduct. I should be patient. It's easy to be patient with people you love. It's hard to be patient with people you don't know or trying to sell you something. You know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes I get a telemarketer. Anybody ever get telemarketers call you? Yeah. Hello, Mr. Do. And I've got a Hawaii number, so they think I live in Honolulu. And so they're trying to tell me something. And I thought, first of all, I don't really need this. How did you get my number? I want to hang up on them. But sometimes I'll just say, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. And then they'll go through it, and I'll say, thank you very much for your presentation. I really don't want this product, but I do want you to know this was not a mistake. You called me. Can I tell you, Jesus Christ died for you on the cross? And I turn it into an opportunity to talk to them. And they're the ones saying, oh, I'm sorry, I have to go, you know. They never call you back. They never call you back. So that's a surefire way to get rid of the telemarketers. Just love them and be gentle and patient and then preach to them.
Amen.
Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Renee, as she was correcting me this morning, she talked to me about what patience really means. And she looked it up. She goes, here's what it really means, honey. I said, okay. What does it mean, sweetheart? And so we went through. She says, it's a calm temper which bears evil without murmuring or discontent. The quality of waiting a long time for justice or expected good without being discontent. Long time. That justice is going to be served. Whether I see it or not, justice is going to be served. Can I tell you what? No one is going to get away with anything, ladies and gentlemen. Why is there so much evil and pain and suffering in the world? Why would God allow? Trust me, God is sovereign and he is just. One day, every action is going to reap its reward, whether good or bad. One day, the judge is going to pass judgment. Justice will be served. May not be done in your timeline or in your timetable, but it will be served in God's sovereign timeline. Yeah. That's what it means. I'm really trusting God. I'm not trusting circumstances or people. I'm really trusting God. And because I can trust you, God, I can be patient. And I can know in your sovereign will, it didn't happen the way I wanted it to, but I'm going to be patient because I'm really not trusting in events or other people. I'm trusting in you. Yeah. If you don't get anything else, I hope you got that point. Mm-hmm. We need to be patient. Yeah. We need to show kindness, goodness, yeah, faithfulness, yeah, gentleness, yeah, self-control. Yeah. The gifts of the Spirit are power. They're the power of God. The fruits of the Spirit, they're the character of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I want the power, but can I tell you what? We need the fruit and the character.
Yeah.
You need the fruit and the character. I need the fruit and the character. How do I get it? Well, John 15:4 tells us, abide in me and I'll abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, says Jesus. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. That must be a misprint. But apart from me, you can do some things, but not every... No, it means nothing. You can do nothing. Everyone say nothing.
Nothing.
All the things we do in the flesh, they may look like we've accomplished something, but it's really nothing in the grand scheme of eternity. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as the branches, and they dry up, and they gather them, and they cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, if that's a conditional article, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this, the Father is glorified. Our whole motive for having spiritual gifts, our whole motive for exhibiting spiritual fruit is that we can glorify God. That we can glorify God. Bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you for the truth of and the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray even now that the Holy Spirit would convict our hearts. Lord, that you would pull aside the veil and pull it down so we can see and say, look, God, I've got some things in me that are not good. I've got some things of the flesh that are the fruit of my life and not fruit of the Spirit. There's anger, there's impatience, there's criticism, there's bitterness, there's unforgiveness. God, I need gentleness, peace, and hope, goodness, self-control, patience. God, I need these things in my life. They're not in me. Lord, right now, I ask you to come and show me what kind of fruit I'm producing. Jesus said, you'll know them by the fruit, God. I want to be known by the fruits of the Spirit. I want to be known by love, joy, and peace, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Lord, let me be a man. Let me be a woman. When people look at me, they see the fruit of my life and they know I'm a Christian before I ever open my mouth. Lord, we need your grace. We need your Holy Spirit. And we need the manifestation and the byproduct of your fruits working in our life. Thank you for bringing this word to us today, God. Thank you for convicting us of areas where we've run ahead of you or we've depended on the arm of the flesh. And God, I pray, by the power of the Spirit, that yes, indeed, we would move in the gifts of the Spirit. But Lord, I want to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit as well. With your heads down, your eyes closed. If you say, Pastor Ken, there are areas in my life where the fruits of the Spirit are just absent or the very opposite is there, and I need God to show me and touch me and give me the incentive to make that change. If you're here today and you say, this thing on the fruits of the Spirit, this message was for me, to turn around and allow God to begin to put new fruit on my tree. If that's what you're saying, I want you to raise your hand up high. Yes, raise your hand up high all across the room. And those viewing online, if you just raise your hand with us, please. Father, I thank you. You can put your hands down. Lord, I pray for every hand that went up, that Lord, today, these people would realize that God, you want to produce something in their life. And it's not just for them, it's for the common good, it's for other people. They can come and they can eat the fruit of their life and see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Father, I just pray for those who are here. I pray for those who are viewing online that, Lord, you'd go right into their living room, right into their study, right into their dining room, and you would show them, God, that you have a better way, that, Lord, the deeds of the flesh would be put down and the fruits of the Spirit would start to emerge. So, Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I pray now that you would touch our lives. Lord, let us be an example of your church, of your people this week as we go out and we exhibit the fruits of the Spirit. And we give you praise. We give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's give God a praise of all, offering praise. I want to encourage you all, please go through the purple book if you haven't done so and just say, God, show me if I need to change and where I need to change. Can I tell you something, folks? We're all in process. We're all in this together. And so God is wanting us to be the people that the world looks at and says, that's the kingdom of God in operation. If you're here today and you'd like prayer for anything about the sermon and about developing the fruits of the Spirit, about being filled with the Holy Spirit, if you have questions or you'd like to be prayed for, our ministry team is up here. If you want to know more, again, you can text online. And also we have our Next Steps programs that we're just finishing up one-to-one. You need to go through our one-to-one, please. Then we have a membership class that's 4 weeks long. And then we will slot you into a servant leadership position, which will be a blessing to you and those who you serve. So that's our on-ramp and being a part of what God's doing here in every nation. We're so glad you're here. Let's stand together. Father, thank you so much for this great day. We give you praise and glory. And thank you, Lord, as we go our separate ways, that you'd be with us and we would produce fruit that would signify that we love you and we're part of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be dismissed.